welcome to episode 6. Honestly, I cannot believe that we're finally here. Initially, I had said that we would record five episodes. I think 5 episodes for one season. But with the way it's going, I'm having so much fun recording. So I think we will do maybe 10, and then we'll come back next year for episode 2 by God's grace, God willing, God keeps us. I said episode 2. Season 2. Oh my God. Well, I've left episode 2 how many months ago? We will come back to season 2. So let me see. Let me do the math real quick in my head. So this is episode 6, which means we have 4 episodes left to get to episode 10, to get to 10 episodes. And that would mean 2 episodes in the month of November and 2 episodes in December. I think that would be nice because I think I would like to do a Christmas episode and just talk about Christmas and talk about why we celebrate Christmas and also how I celebrate Christmas. My mom has a poultry, so she rears chickens, and she rears the chickens just for holidays. So she can start a new batch in January and she's rearing them for Easter. And then when be eating those ones, she'll start a new one for Christmas. And so she's currently rearing chickens right now for Christmas, which is really great because we don't have to buy chicken. But I don't know why I'm talking about Christmas and food, but yeah, I look forward to recording a Christmas episode. I'm excited for it. When it comes to food, I'm always excited and happy, and it just feels good to talk about food. I mean, why not? Food is everything. The funny thing about talking about this food is I'm currently fasting. Oh my goodness. God, I beg. I'm currently fasting. So I need to stop this food conversation immediately because, you know, obviously by the time you've listened to this, I would have broken my fast and I would not be fasting anymore. But I just need to compose myself. So how are you doing? I hope you're doing good. I hope you've had a great week. I record on Fridays or Thursdays, so I publish on Fridays, which means that by the time you're listening to this, you would be preparing for the weekend, or the weekend is finally here and you're having a good weekend, or maybe you're listening to it on the new week, but I'm assuming that it's the weekend that you're listening to the episodes. I hope that you're home and you're able to decompress and just let go of all that work stress because you need to have a very calm, chill weekend. So if you follow me on Twitter, you probably saw it's not called Twitter anymore, it's called X, formerly Twitter. You probably saw my post, formerly called Tweets, last Sunday. And if you aren't following me, you should. It was around past 6, I think it was past 6. I was preparing to host my show. I host Faith Struggles on the Jesus Talks Radio. If you don't know the Jesus Talks Radio, and if you don't listen to the radio, you should. It's a Christian radio, Christian songs, Christian conversations, faith-based edifying content. You can find the radio on Mixlr, or you follow the radio on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So I was prepping for my show around past 6, because I host my show by 7. And then my brother came to my room, and then he told me that my dad was bleeding from his nose. I went to the living room, and sure enough, my dad was there, laying on the couch, and he was bleeding from his nose. But everyone just assumed, even him, that it would stop. So my mom did traditional first aid, which is something I've always seen her do. And I've seen her do whenever we had a nosebleed, or maybe we had a cut or a bruise. We have a small farm in our compound. We grow vegetables, yam, pineapples, banana, corn. We used to grow cocoyams and cassava, but we stopped. I don't know why. I never really asked why. But she went to the farm and she plucked saint leaves. It's a vegetable, so people from south, like Delta State, Edo State, we use it to make black soup. So she plucked it and she grinded it with her hand. She kind of squeezed it to soften it up a bit. And she put it up to my dad's nose to stop the bleeding. And as expected, it worked this time. The bleeding stopped and everything seemed fine. So me, I just took myself and went back to my room. At about 6:32, I think, or 34, I can't remember the exact time, but it was past 6:30, my brother came back to my room to tell me that the bleeding had in fact not stopped. I asked him where my dad was. He said my dad was in his room. So I went to my dad's room. When I tell you that in all my 26 years, I have never seen blood that much. I have never seen that much blood in all of my life. Best believe he was in the bathroom with my mom. So I just assumed, though, because he was bleeding from the nose, maybe they just wanted him to, you know, stay in the bathroom and maybe just, I don't know, I just assumed, sha. But as soon as I walked into that bathroom, Jesus, my dad was bleeding from his nose, bleeding from his mouth, just pouring out blood. The bathroom floor was bloody. My mom kept pouring water to wash away the blood. The toilet seat was bloody. Tissue paper that they had used to pack up the blood. It was just chaos. And you know when people say my life flashed before my eyes, but this one wasn't my life, but it was that same experience. I panicked. Because what am I supposed to do? What am I going to do? Like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't understand what was happening. This is somebody I just saw like how many minutes ago. So what is this? And so I panicked and I left the room and I came to my room and I was panicking. I picked up my phone and my hands were literally shaking. And all of a sudden, as quickly as I panicked, I don't know how it happened. I just became calm, collected my thoughts, asked myself, why are you panicking? It was so quick. I don't know how it happened. I just found myself asking, why are you panicking? Have you forgotten who you are? The way I switched from panic to calmness, it needs to be studied, because even me, I don't understand it. All I remember was my pastors were teaching us that morning, and immediately I just started to pray. I picked up my phone. I put out a post on X, formerly Twitter, asking everyone to pray for my dad, because as much as I can pray and I had begun to pray, I also believe in the effectiveness of communal prayers. And so I put out the post because I wanted everybody to pray alongside me, to intercede as I was interceding. And then I went to my dad's room. I laid hands on my dad and I started praying over him. And I texted a pastor from church. And so she immediately called me and we started praying. And we prayed for a while. My dad had gone back to the living room. And by the time we were done praying, I went to check on my dad and he had stopped bleeding. And so I put out another post and I just said, oh, the bleeding has stopped. Thank you guys so much. So I went to the living room to stay with my dad and carried his cup, put his cup to his mouth, and I just saw the blood drop. I saw it like this one. My mouth was open like this, like, eh, what is this? And my dad raised his head and he went to the bathroom, and there was blood in the living room because blood has splattered. My mom, she went after him and everything. They tried to clean up. About 4 handkerchiefs they had used and they were all soaked with blood. So my mom went to my neighbor's house. My neighbor is an elderly man. He can drive, but he's an elderly man, so obviously he cannot drive us all the way to Lagos. And me, I don't know how to drive. I can't drive. But thankfully, he came and he said he knew a clinic around us and we could take my dad there. So we took my dad to the clinic. Thankfully, when we got to the clinic, we were able to stop the bleeding. Bleeding has stopped. My dad seemed fine and, you know, we figured everything out and came back home. In all of this, this is where I'm going. Community and the church. I've always understood that we cannot do life in silos and that we need one another as Christians. The scripture says it and we have been taught about it in church. But honestly, I don't think I've had a deeper understanding or a personal experience that made the need for one another more profound until Sunday. People sent me hospitals that I can find. People called me. Somebody started a prayer call for my dad and they were praying for my father, praying for my family. And what is the one thing that connects all of us together? The one bond that we all share is our joint heirs with Christ. I felt so much gratitude for the privilege of salvation, or the privilege that salvation offers, because I cannot imagine how that Sunday would have gone. I can't even imagine not having the people that had surrounded me in my time of need. I can't imagine doing life without the goodness of God. I was scared. There was a lot of anxiety. I had never experienced this before. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't drive my dad to a hospital. I couldn't get him to the nearest doctor. I had to go to a clinic. Thankfully, we were able to find one. In all of that chaos and all of that craziness, I'm grateful that I had the church, because I was comforted, not just by the Holy Spirit, because I was praying. I prayed all the way from my house to the clinic, and I prayed all through the time the nurse was attending to my dad until she was done attending to my dad. As we're about to leave the clinic, I joined the prayer call and we prayed all the way back home. And yes, the Holy Spirit was comforting me and the Holy Spirit was reassuring me, but I also needed my brothers and sisters in the faith. I felt so much peace and so much ease. It felt so reassuring to know that I had people that could cover me, and it blew my mind. Thankfully, now my dad is not bleeding, but he's currently receiving meds, and he got back from the hospital some hours ago and he's currently resting. He's been at the hospital since Monday, going and coming. He's not completely there at 100 yet, but hopefully, I trust God that he will be. But I'm thankful that we had that support, and my dad felt so loved. He felt so seen, and I was like, help me tell everyone thank you. He was so grateful, because imagine how crazy that Sunday was. It just felt so good to have the comfort of that community and to know that people had surrounded us and we're not alone and we're not going through this crisis alone. And so if you're listening to me and you think that you don't need to go to church, or you think you don't need the church, or you don't need friends from church, please, I beg you to reconsider. I beg you to change your mind, because how are you going through life without God and without His people? Life is tough. Life is so tough. And I cannot imagine not having God in my boat. My boat will sink. I can't even swim. So best believe I will drown. After my boat sinks and I'm in the water, I will drown, because how would I swim out? And so I beg you to reconsider. The community, the fellowship of the brethren is so important. It's so needed. Like, you really cannot do life without God, and you really cannot do life without His children surrounding you, holding your hand. The church is so important in this time and day. There's so much craziness and so much chaos that if you don't have your brothers and sisters in the faith praying for you, upholding you in prayer, praying alongside you, praying over you, comforting you with words, with scriptures, because when your faith fails, you just need that support structure, that balance to tilt you back in. I'm so thankful for everybody that reached out to my family, everybody that texted, everybody that prayed, that called. And let me say that if it stems from a place of hurt, because I know that we cannot negate the fact that church hurts happens, and it's a lot of people's reality and their experiences, but I beg you to let God heal you. I beg you to let God in and to let Him take all your pain away, because you need Him, you need His body. Even Jesus didn't do life alone. He had the 12. He had His disciples. So you cannot afford to do life alone. You cannot afford to be alone, or to live inside us, or to be isolated. You need to be surrounded by the body. You need that community. And there's just this goodness that comes from letting the church love you and loving the church right back. You need people. So please, I beg in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, let God help you heal so you can love. And side notes, guys, I need to learn to drive. I have no life-saving skill. Imagine if there was no clinic around. What would you have done? Because obviously my dad couldn't drive in that condition. Who would have driven us? I think that was my number one fear and why I panicked a lot, because I just thought of, I can't drive. I can't take this man out of this place. And so I just thank God that it wasn't crazier than it already was. And I know that I need to learn to drive. Very important. I've been getting feedback since the last episode, and I just want to say thank you to everyone. People actually sent me text messages, DMs, and were like, oh, I really like this episode. And I saw some people reshared it. So thank you so much for listening and sharing it. I'm grateful. I'm thankful that you can, in a way, relate to the things I say. Because sometimes I feel like it's in my head and it's just me that can relate. But thank you so much. I will see you in the next episode. Have a great weekend.